Yes, there have been many times that the Lord has blessed me. These are the things that we continually give thanks for. The enjoyment of God. The love of His people. The guiding influence of His Spirit. They're coming through. All right. We'll do it. We're going to read first from 1 Nephi, the third chapter. Close to the 187th verse. Time to get our minds running in a vein of thought possible. I'll begin reading verse 181. It came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of whom I speak is the seed of thy father. Wherefore, after I visited them in judgment, and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things, which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up, to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. Now I would like to turn to the fifth chapter of Isaiah. I'll read the first seven verses. Now I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and have brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, or rather Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more in my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that I should bring forth grapes, that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plain. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry. As we think upon these things, I'm going to turn now to 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter. I'll begin reading 105. There have been many things happening in this prophecy before this. But right now we're talking about some specific things that are to occur in the shortly seen week. Behold, I say unto you, nay, but all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. He commandeth that there shall be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise the Lord. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they are nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish. But the laborer in Zion shall labor for Zion. For if they labor for money, they shall perish. And again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, that they should not lie, they should not steal, they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain. They should not envy, they should not have malice, they should not contend one with another, they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should do none of these things. For whoso doeth them shall perish, for none of these iniquities come of the Lord. For he doeth that which is good among the children of men, and he doeth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him, and partake of his goodness, that he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. Don't we think upon these things? There are many ideas possibly that could come forth. But the thing that I want to tell you is, we talk. I can read all the prophecies, but there's not time to know. We talk about the coming forth of Zion. Its establishment, its building. And as we think about these things, we talk about it being built up, a holy city. And as we listen to this reading, I have heard at times a fear within the hearts of some of the Lord's people to pray that they might have charity. And those same people, in their testimonies, in their desires, in their pure hearts as they are stirred up within them, long for the coming forth and the establishment of Zion. But they fear to have charity because of the responsibility that they know is placed upon the person he possesses. The thought that I want to carry to your minds this evening is that the laborer in Zion that does not have charity does not exist. Because say if that laborer have charity, he will not be in Zion. Because that is a virtue that must be possessed by the laborer in Zion, that holy person that builds that place. We are building that place now within our hearts. And we must not shrink from the responsibility of that. Let's call to our mind a young boy that went into the woods to pray because out of the sincerity of his heart, he wished to know which church to join. Because there were many churches in the land. And those churches were known as Christianity. The ones he was talking about. As he went into the woods to pray, his answer came similar to this. Don't join any of them, for their creeds are an abomination in my sight. They teach for doctrine the precepts of men. Do not follow me. Now, as we think about these things, remember, the possession that the world holds cannot buy you a place in Zion. All of their money. This is another thing I would like to underscore in your mind. And remember, all of their money will not build Zion. If we had all of their money, that money would not build Zion. Because money attracts other things besides the gift of charity, which gift is love. Which gift must be possessed by us? Are we the true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we believe that a young boy went into the woods to pray? Do we believe the answer came to him? Do not join any of them. Those who go by my name, those who call themselves Christians, don't join any of them. Because the creeds that they go by are an abomination in my sight. And then, through the hands of this boy, by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, which special gift along with that of the Urim and Thummim, that he might be a seer for a short time, he brought forth the Book of Mormon. Be a guide to our hands, an understanding to our minds. Something that could be plain as one writer writes within it, as words can be. But regardless of how plain it is, don't misunderstand that the words that are written in it cannot be rested. Because they have been. They can be. And if we believe that this was given to them for, if we believe by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost, authority was once again established on this earth, the Church of Christ restored, if we believe that, then please, brothers and sisters, never deceive ourselves once again that those same churches that existed and called themselves Christian all that time and do still now at this time would ever be recognized by the Lord Jesus Christ as carrying his name and his authority. Now, if we believe this, if you believe that you held within your hand the answer to the problem of this earth that could only be carried to them by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost to guide them in the paths of righteousness, would you not be willing to share the words of that gospel with them? You may say to yourself, my brother, you put too big a responsibility on me. No, I didn't. You didn't. Why? Because you chose to be here. You chose to be baptized members of that body of Christ. You chose to try to bring forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that abiding comforter, which Christ has said that he would give to those who follow him. I'd like to call to your attention to something that he told his disciples back here in the 15th chapter of St. John. Now we are told in many places that he laid down his life according to the plan of redemption for the whole world. He didn't. But we have many benefits that the God of heaven has held out to that world. But because they would not reach forth their hands and partake of those benefits, they denied themselves the reality of the personal application of those great gifts that had given to the world. What I want to call to your attention here, you will see shortly. I'll begin reading at the 7th verse. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hear, my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. That life that was laid down was done for the benefit of all mankind, but the partakers of the gift that the shedding of that life shed forth only were called his friends. You say, my brother, you can find the count too small a number. My brothers and my sisters, do not allow ourselves to think the Lord meant any different than what he said. It is very important that we rely upon the Word of God. Because only in relying upon that Word of God, clinging to it, holding fast to it, can we find the comfort and the guidance that is needed. I want to read a little bit from the 4th chapter of 1 Nephi to kind of rehearse that, to bring it to your mind. Nephi is talking to his brothers. As he talks to his brothers, they ask him a question. What meaneth the tree which he saw? Talking about their father's vision. I said it was a representation of the tree of life. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could, not possible, neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. The adversary does not possess the power if someone is holding fast to that word of God, that rod of iron. Let's recall the vision that Lehi saw and that later his son Nephi saw. There was this rod of iron that led to the tree. All who caught hold of the rod of iron and walked along the straight and narrow path that was there did not get to the tree. But those and only those that clung to the rod of iron got to the tree. And even they, not all of they, remained there. Some of them succumbed to the scoffing and the finger pointing of the world. And they drifted away into that mist of darkness and were lost. Their souls were robbed. The adversary exercised his power. But when they clung to that rod of iron, proceeded along it till they came to the tree of life, they could partake of that tree of life, which was that love of God, that special love of God. And remember, we also know that the pattern of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ says to us that you cannot walk in the straight and narrow path unless you enter in by the way. Which way? In the 13th chapter of 2 Nephi is spelled out where the Father has told one of his ministry, Nephi, to listen to the Son. And in listening to the Son, the method of the baptism and what it does is spelled out. In the souls of mankind who follow that pattern, can partake of the goodness and of the strength of the Holy Spirit. So as we possess these facts, let us also understand that our responsibility toward our fellow being says to us, love your neighbor as yourself. Does that mean that we should love those who do not love God and will not love God? What is a neighbor? A neighbor is someone who have something in common with you, either in a community that you can neighbor with, because many of us had people who lived next door and we called them neighbors, but we couldn't neighbor with them. Well, they in fact were not neighbors, they only lived next door. A neighbor is the person that we can neighbor with, that we can talk to, share our points of view with. Then he begins to be our neighbor. And then, like we're talking about today, we can begin to show him that our love for him, our concern for his soul's well-being, causes us to reach out to him. Causes us to try to show him the good things,
the glad tidings that were given, that the angel spoke to the shepherds about when the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ came about, and they went to see Him. These are neighbors. These we must love. But I must rehearse to you one more thing. That is not enough for the Lord to be satisfied for things to exist between you and I. We are His covenant people. You do not believe that. Examine the Scriptures. Ask for a testimony of this from that Lord Jesus Christ. We are His covenant people. We must not love each other as a neighbor. We must be His friends. We must fulfill His new commandment. And that commandment is that we love each other not as ourselves, but as He loved us, and as His Father loved Him, which was not the way we would love another as ourselves. He loved us more than He loved Himself. He gave up a place on high. I shouldn't say it that way. He didn't give it up. He left it for a moment in time to return again, to endure the pains and the agonies that He knew would equal anything that you and I would have to face, to show us it could be done, to show us that He took upon Him humanity, to show us that it's possible for a man to endure all things for his God. And that He did do. And then He told His disciples that He was going to go home to His Father and their Father, to His God and their God, and He went home to see Him. He proved once and for all to us, and we must believe Him. We must have this testimony in our hearts. And I would like to call to your mind an incident where Alma and his brethren were going to go out and preach the gospel to the people of the land. Before they went out, they went to the Lord. And after they had gone to the Lord, a special thing was done. It says that Alma clapped his hands upon the heads of those that went out and asked the Lord a special blessing upon them. And that blessing was like this: that He would cause all of the pains, the tribulations, the persecutions that they would have to endure to be swallowed up in the joy of the testimony of their Lord Jesus Christ as they went forth to preach that gospel and teach the people how to live in their land. Another time, they began to beseech the Lord with the full fervor of their hearts that He would prepare the hearts of the people of the land so that when the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ was carried forth to them, they would receive it with joy and not reject it. My brothers and my sisters, we must not ever fail to realize this is the thing we must do. And we must not ever fail either to remember how joyous it is to feel the power of the Holy Spirit upon us. It's written in the Scriptures that the Lord would not always cause His Spirit to strive with the children of men. And in one of the prophecies concerning the brethren of Nephi, it says that when they drifted away far enough where the Holy Spirit could not strive with them, that then would come sudden destruction. And we've had it called to our attention several times that there's not even a near example of the decline and collapse of a culture that ever came about on the face of this earth in a quicker span of time than the collapse of the people of Nephi. When they turned from God, they had had great knowledge. When they turned from Him, He withdrew His Spirit from them, and they were destroyed in a matter of a few short years. The Lord has restored this gospel once again. The gospel and the authority and the church that Christ established when He was here in the flesh. Remember, He didn't establish this church over here while He was in the flesh. It was the one over there in Jerusalem. And it's established with the ministerial names that were in that church. And that's why they're not called disciples, but apostles. That's the one that went into apostasy. That's the one that prophesied would be restored. There was no prophecy that the church that was over here among these people was going to be restored. Only that one. You say it was the same church. It was a segment of it, given under special circumstances. I had a question come to me here just a little while back. Would the Lord have another church that we didn't know about here on this earth in our time? There's only one possibility, brothers and sisters, that could be true. Only one. We have some lost tribes, and the book says that we don't know where they are, but they are not lost to the Lord. We might not know where they are. But brothers and sisters, let me rehearse to you again that if that church exists among those people, and probably it does, there will probably be a difference in the name of the ministry there as well. But that church is not the one restored. The one restored is the one that our Lord Jesus Christ went through the agony and the pains of life to establish. To be hung on a cross and die. To be resurrected again. It came back and forth to tutor those people for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, that abiding comforter came, that power of the Holy Ghost that says it came as a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then He left and didn't return in the same way. But in these books, and I beg of you to check me, do not take my word for it. Read the book so that you know what that rod of iron is telling you to do. You will know. And it says that His followers are going to come to Him in such a way that they will have a testimony of that Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have one? Not just to know His name. No, no. That's not enough. Many, many people know His name. Do you have a testimony of Him? Of His feelings, of His desires concerning you and His people. Do you know of a fact in your own life that he will cause that power of the Holy Ghost to come to you and bear witness and testimony that you might know the truthfulness of the Word of God. Do you know that yourself? My brothers and my sisters, believe in a day when not one of those who are the true followers of our Lord Jesus Christ will be minus that gift. They will all have it. If we do not all have it, then we must beg the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father to send that power of His Holy Spirit upon us so that we can have it. The day is soon coming when we must rise up in His Spirit. And we must carry this gospel forth. But the people who do this will not be murderers. They will not be liars. They will not torment each other. They will not do hurtful things to each other. Not ever. But they will be the kind of people who will constantly be supportive to each other. They will not cease to be human. I realize that you say, well, humans sometimes say nasty things to each other. No, that's not true. That's the people of the world. The followers of our Lord Jesus Christ would not intentionally, when we come to this place that we must arrive at, will not intentionally hurt each other. It may happen accidentally, and then it will be repented of. But they will not deliberately do that. Why? Because if you deliberately do something that you know is wrong, you are rebelling against God, doing something you know He has commanded you not to do. Those people will not do that. Are we those people? We must become that people. Yes, my time is gone. So brothers and sisters, believe this. You and I can become that people. You say, I don't know whether I can or not. The Lord Jesus Christ has offered you the possibility of becoming that people, or you would be here today. And being here today, I ask of you to do something for your ministry. They are human. Do not idolize them. Beg the Lord that He will send the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon you. That this gospel of the kingdom may be carried on the wings of the Spirit, that power of the Holy Ghost to the hearts of those who hear it, that they may know it's true. That the thing written concerning Nephi, the father of the Nephi that was here when Christ came to this land, wherein it says that his faith was so great that when he went forth and spoke to the people, they could not but believe his words because they knew it was true. The power of the Holy Spirit made them know it. They didn't follow him. They were angry because of the things that he taught them. They were angry because of the power that was with him. But they knew what he said. My beloved brothers and sisters, pray that I may love you, that I may love the children of men, that I and all the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ may be used as tools in His hand, that we may only speak the truth, and that when we do it, that power of the Holy Ghost will bear witness and a testimony of those things that are true. So that this church, not because we are important, but because the work is important, the mission of Christ is important, and so that it will be carried forth in that way to feed our people testimony of their lives will cause others to know those people are peculiar. They're unusual. They're different. Because the things that they live and do are not the things of the world. Thank you very much.
We will not have a closing.